staying at home and taking care of their loved one and not being able to pay their mortgage, or going to work and having their loved one not get the care that they need. But January 1st next year, that all changes.
That's the former House Speaker, Melissa Hortman, earlier this year. So painful to see her hear her voice. And it was Hope, the daughter of the Hoffmans, who were shot multiple times, her mother that protected her, who saved so many by calling 911. You knew Hope. Can you talk about her significance in what she did in these last 20 seconds?
I am not surprised at all that Hope will have the courage in that moment to make that call and do what she had to do. She is the only daughter of a loving couple that just adore her. And she has been working in multiple issues on behalf of people with disabilities, just like her father.
I'm going to have I thank you so much for your participation in today's show. Patricia Torres-Ray, former Minnesota senator, worked closely with Minnesota former House Speaker Melissa Hortman and State Senator John Hoffman. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
Listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Development and Events Committee meets on the third Monday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Join KBOO around the campfire. Become a member during Camp KBOO's Summer Drive, taking place now through June 29th. Your contribution goes towards grassroots community radio. Donate now by going to kboo.fm/give. Thank you.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM. That's 90.7 in Portland, 104.3 in Corvallis, and 91.9 in Hood River. And via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO FM. Today is Monday, June 16th, 2025. It is approximately 8:02 a.m. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I thank you so much for joining us this morning and for being a part of our community. Thank you for all that you are and all that you are doing. There is so much to talk about today, and for those of you who would like to be a part of the conversation, let me remind you that our phone numbers are 503-231-8187. So in a few minutes, we'll open up the lines and invite you to share the wisdom that you have to share. So let me begin by saying that recently, every morning, I've been waking up and turning on the news or reading the news and just overwhelmed by by what's happening and the tragic events in this nation and indeed throughout the world. So whether one is talking about the inhumane policies of the Trump administration domestically and internationally, or what's happening throughout the world and in our communities, it causes me to pause and to say, oh my gosh, where are we going? So whether it is waking up to finding out more cruel policies by the Trump administration, whether it's not waking up and finding, hearing about shooting of and the murder of state legislators in their homes, whether or not is waking up and hearing about Israel war with Iran. All of these are things that causes me to pause and say, my gosh, where are we headed? And yet, in fact, there are opportunities for us to say that there are things that are different. Things can be different. And so, as many of you throughout the nation, in communities large and small, stood up and in rallies throughout the nations. I participated in a rally in my town and interested in some of your experiences in participating in rallies this past weekend. Whether it, what were some of the creative signs you saw? Where did you rally and what was it like? And what's next? We heard in news reports of, you know, people rallying in cities and towns throughout the nation and indeed throughout the world. I saw a video of a rally in Johannesburg, South Africa, I guess with some white Afrikaners who somehow did not qualify for on Trump's invitation to the United States, but in that multiracial community nations, there were people rallying against what's happening in the United States. So indeed, throughout the world and indeed throughout the nation, people were rallying. So what were some of the things that you saw or you noticed? What do you think of all the layers of resistance that's happening? Let me share with you a couple of things, because I noticed, you know, people have been rallying all over the place, in large and communities and small communities. One person noted and observed, and this is a good testimony to all of you, wherever you were, for what you did and what you are continuing to do. To stand up to fascism. This person said that, quote, the guts it took for everyone who showed up in their small towns yesterday, that's the kind of courage that matters. It's easy to stand with 10,000, but standing with just a handful, that's real. This person observation about the courage that many people in many communities are doing have, and the actions that they are doing is something to be admirable and something to take note of, that indeed people are standing up in all of their communities, large and small, and making a point. So what are some of your observations about what's been going on, particularly about the rallies this past weekend, your observations, were some of the creative signs. Where did you rally? What were the people like? Did you have conversations? And where do you go? And where do we go from here? I want to quote another post I saw on social media, and this is actually from a local organization who observed and posted these words. As many protesters in many countries come out Saturday against Trump, attacks on workers at home and abroad, when ICE chases workers in the fields and in the factories, and now three wars go on, Israel versus Palestine, Israel versus Iran, and Russia versus Ukraine, it is a good time for folks for justice against poverty, for jobs, and for peace to come out strong on Saturday. And they continue. Dylan once wrote, "You masters of war, you that build the big planes, you that build the big bombs and finish with, and I'll look at your graves to make sure that you're dead. There are and have been profits to be made in the war and gun industries over time, but as people unite and organize, the oppression now against most people on the planet can be stopped." And they conclude, as Joe Hill used to say with IWW, after Joe got the death penalty in Salt Lake City, "Don't mourn, organize." And that was posted by the Portland Gray Panthers in Lou Church. So where are we now? Certainly people rally on Saturdays, but where are we? Are we organizing in our communities to meet the challenges we face? What were some of your responses and your reactions to the rallies where you were? And where do you think we go next? What are next steps that we need to do? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. So what are the next steps? And let me remind you of what I said last week. You know, some are posting on social media, some are protesting in the street, some are donating silently, some are educating themselves, some are having tough conversations with friends and families. A revolution has many layers. Be kind to yourself and to others who are traveling in the same direction. Just keep your foot on the gas. So put your foot on the gas and give us a call, 503-231-8187, and share your thoughts about where we are as a nation and where do we go forward. It occurred to me that a little over 51 years ago, it's hard to believe, 51 years ago, Richard Nixon resigned from the presidency. At that time, people were enraged and angry by the lawlessness of the president and the way in which that president conducted a corrupt, immoral war and wages war on the people within the United States as well. Got to a point where people said that we had enough, that you have to resign. And Republicans entered into the White House, senators and representatives, leaders in the Republican Party, and said to Mr. Nixon, "You must resign." Well, people are starting to do that now, and in terms of urging for change of action. But what we do not see enough of are individuals of the same political party as the president and those who are doing so much destruction right now to say that this must stop now. I'm reminded of a quote attributed to Andrew Jackson who said that, you know, he was powerful and judges can rule against them. Justices can and say. And he reportedly said to the Supreme Court Chief Justice, John Marshall has made his decision, now let him enforce it. And that's, I think, tend to be the attitude of much of the current administration. They have the power. Judges can say whatever they want. But who will enforce that? Well, we are the enforcers, the people. And whether it is in organizing in your community, rallying with people in your towns and cities, we become the enforcers. What are your opinions and thoughts on the rallies this weekend? And what were some of the creative signs you saw? Now, keep this PG, but let's hear. Let's hear our first caller. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Good morning, Cecil. I continue to be dangerously well, no matter what they say. Thank you very much for your program. I've been listening for a long, long time. You have offered me the luxury of taking my calls for 20 years now.
Oh, wow.
I appreciate that, and I hope that you stay well for a long time to come.
Thank you.
I called on subjects that are somewhat related, but mm-hmm. not in answer to your direct question.
Okay. But
tomorrow, mm-hmm. the 17th of June, marks 10 years since a young man walked into a church in Charleston, South Carolina, mm-hmm. and murdered, I believe, 7 persons. The young man was 21. I'll get to that in a second because I have a second topic, and that is tomorrow, the 17th of June, marks the 10th anniversary of the onset or the emergence of shingles from my side and back. And it's called the herpes zoster virus. You get it as a child. When you get chickenpox, it hides in the neural tissue and reemerges later in life. More on that in a moment. First, back to the shooting.
Okay.
If you'll permit me.
Okay. Weave it all together. Okay.
I'm trying to weave these together carefully.
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to say the name of the young man who did the killings in mm-hmm. South Carolina because his name need not be spoken.
Oh.
He was 21. Now, in Colombia, in just the last number of days, a 15-year-old shot and grievously wounded a candidate for the president of Colombia. And, of course, just over the weekend, a 58, we suspect, year-old man is accused of assassinating a politician and her husband in their home. Additionally, as you know, the shooter in the case of the administrator of a health insurance corporation in New York was a very young man, and in a cold-blooded fashion actually made the gun on a plastic gun printing machine
mm-hmm.
and cold-bloodedly killed a man by shooting him in the back.
Yes.
There is something dreadfully wrong here. And the nature of the problem is the influence of extremism, most especially on boys around the world and especially here at home. There is something dreadfully wrong when extremists on every side can have an influence that will cause others to resort to violence. Even on the left, there are those who might even call today, callers, listeners, in numbers, who advocate buying guns and violent revolution, none of which will move us forward as a people. Now, as to the second topic, I urge everyone who's listening that if indeed you are at risk of shingles, the condition that I have is called postherpetic neuralgia, and it goes on to this day, 10 years of pain and discomfort unalleviated except by medication applied to the surface. If you had chickenpox as a child, I urgently advise you, because this is a condition that I would indeed wish upon my worst enemy. It's that horrible. I urge you to consider immediately getting the two-dose vaccination against shingles. We have a whole new regimen. It's two doses over the course of 2 weeks. And you may feel a little sick after the second dose, but you will not suffer the way we have. Those who have had shingles, that will not go away. So let's pay attention to our boys. They are very critical to the future. And let's pay attention to our health. Don't for a moment believe Mr. Kennedy and his vaccine skepticism or denial. Thank you very much, Cecil. I deeply, deeply appreciate the opportunity to share this information. And I thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for reminding us of the importance of taking care of ourselves and being aware of those who are enamored by our fascination with violence and gun violence.
Right. Let no one lead us astray. Let no one lead us astray. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And to thank you for reminding us of the shooting victims on June 17th, 2015. Let me give you, say the names of those who died. Clementa Pinckney, Sharonda Coleman Singleton, Cynthia Hurd, Susie Jackson, Ethel Lance, DePayne Middleton, Tywanza Sanders, Daniel Simmons, and Myra Thompson. May they rest in peace, and may their death not be in vain. Let's go to our next caller. Good morning, Santiago. How are you this morning?
I'm doing all right. Cecil, how are you doing, man?
I'm well. What are some of your thoughts on what happened Saturday, and did you see or did you make any great signs?
I had planned to go, but I don't associate with 5051. That's, you know, like, I mean, I wasn't real excited about going in the first place just because, like, you know, I get the sentiment behind no kings. But the fact of the matter is we're not dealing with a monarchy. We're not living in a monarchy. I mean, people, you know, there might be a set of liberal folks who feel that way, and there may be a set of conservative folks who insist on calling Trump or referring to him as the king. But the fact of the matter is that we're not dealing with a king. We're dealing with a fascist. And fascism is much more complex than just one dude in charge, right? Like, fascism, in its rawest form, is simply, I mean, like, so Lenin talked about the idea of imperialism, which was the fusing of finance capital and the state institutions and finance capital, if I'm correct. And basically, like, you have the state, and you have its corporate operators in the country working in tandem against the working class. And fascism is just a further pushing of that. I mean, what's happening in L.A. has happened multiple times over the last 100 years. But more importantly, it's also been a part of an explicit part of America's foreign policy that has been signed off on by both sets of the rank and file leaders in both parties. And I find the idea that we're fighting against the king to be kind of a misnomer. But like I said, I kind of understand the sentiment. But I think more importantly is that, you know, a lot of these Democratic ran organizations like 5051 and and there's another one. I'm drawing a blank at the moment that is connected with them. They are not explicitly an arm of the Democratic Party, but they do work in tandem with them. And on top of that, like, they work with cops. Like, we need to, especially in this moment, we cannot, especially those who are really dedicated to moving justice forward and to being out there protesting this stuff. We have to understand that the cops are not our friends. It doesn't mean that there aren't cops out there who are attempting to do the right thing. But the fact of the matter is that the institution of policing is antithetical to the working class. It has sprung up not only as an arm of the slave master after the slaves were freed as a means of recuperating his lost property, but the official police forces sprung up as strike breaking forces hired by the corporations who couldn't afford to hemorrhage money.
So I'm not opposed to what you're saying, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying. A question I have for you, your neighbor who said, "Oh, I have to do something," and they were a part of that action. They probably stood on their street corners or with a sign. Mm-hmm. I suspect may not have no idea who the Democrats are, have no idea who Indivisible is, have no idea about 50-50, but they say that there's something wrong going on and I need to do something. What is your word to them? Not an ideological critique on, well, maybe it could be an ideological critique on capitalism, but how do we use that energy that was clearly there, and what do we do with that?
Well, here's what I tell people, do what your conscience tells you to do. Just be safe out there. But, I get that people are trying to do something in the moment, and I understand that, and that's why, thank you for that, it's Indivisible and 5051. But, they both exist in this moment as a way of taking the revolutionary fervor that is clearly happening in the streets and finding a way to funnel it back into electoral politics. Like I said, I'm not going to tell people what they can or cannot do in this moment, because clearly people feel motivated to do something. But the thing is that this is not a, if we treat this as if it is an aberration, rather than another happening in a long set of happenings that are due to the fact that we are running a system that whether it's a Democrat in the president's seat or whether it's a Republican, they are the head of a country and a head of a system, namely capitalism, that is antithetical to life, freedom, and justice.
Okay, we got you.
We can't, clearly we don't have it right now, so people should be organizing and getting out there, but we need to look at the long term, and the long term has shown us that we've been here before. We've been here before multiple times, and as long as we allow those who have money and power to stay in power, they're going to take it back.
Okay, I think that's a great point to end right here, because I think it's important what you just said. This certainly isn't a new phenomenon. This isn't something unique or unusual. This is, for me, I think, is part and parcel of this American system and this mm-hmm. and what we have to be aware of our history and how we go forward. So thank you so much for your call, and I appreciate your passion. You're listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. Hearing some reflections from people's response to the rallies this past weekend and other things that are happening in our communities. And we will now speak with Tuwasi, who's been waiting. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call, and thank you, KBOO, for being. Thank you. So, you know, I saw the No Kings March online. I had similar feelings to Santiago as far as attending these types of performative events. And I say it's performative because I want to be really clear about the symptoms of fascism and how these events step over them while ignoring them and not actually addressing them. So if we look at Portland, we see over half of all arrests in Portland are of homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
So when we consider the effects of fascism, we could say the police state attacking the most vulnerable is an emblem of a fascistic state.
Mm-hmm.
So the very same people who are proclaiming No Kings step over the victims of fascism and wave their beautiful signs, but at the same time will go home and call the police to further harm the most vulnerable. So we can't say that we're against fascism while we continue to step over those most harmed by it. And another example of that would be people who enjoy the fruits of the labor of farm workers.
Before you go to your next point, I want you to expand a little bit on that first point about not stepping over and going home. How do we do that? How do you make people aware of that? So I'm out there with my sign on Saturday. I'm really angry because something just doesn't feel right. I come home and what do I do? I see that person who, I don't know what to do. So do I call the police? My point to Ossie is, okay, how do you reach that person and how do you, for lack of a better term, educate them that there's more to do?
Well, honestly, it's laziness on behalf of them to try and look to the oppressed people like myself for the solutions. I can't tell you how to take the boot off of my neck, but as long as there's a boot on my neck, you should notice and care.
Okay.
So the boot on the neck of the people would be the Portland Police Bureau.
Okay.
The Portland Police Bureau are actively stomping out the lives of homeless people.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we walk past them and say we don't want fascism and then continue to allow fascistic behavior of our police against the most vulnerable?
Okay.
If you say you don't want kings, but you allow the footmen of kings to stomp on your community members, you know.
I think a part of the problem, Tuasi, is that many people don't consider those people as part of our community, as part of the community members, so they allow the police to step
okay,
on
so
their feet.
Are farm workers our community members?
Well,
are LGBTQ people our community members? Are the people who are locked up because they have a disability, whether it's mm-hmm. mental illness or their inability to work, are those our community members? Because if you look at the homeless in Portland, we have young LGBTQ people who have been kicked out of their intolerant households.
Right.
We have disabled people who cannot be hired because their disability precludes them from labor. And we have people who are, let's be honest with each other, racistly locked outside of jobs and housing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we can easily, well, actually the fastest growing population in Portland and across the country is the elderly. So we have the elderly living outside. That's somebody's grandmother. I don't know about you. I'm not a spring chicken. So it could be me. It has been me.
All right,
what do we do? We call the cops. What do the cops do? They waste resources.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm asking you, okay, that's true. What do I do?
I stood. The privileged people who want to ask that.
No. I'm
how to not oppress them. Instead of looking at the obvious solution, which I already declared,
yeah.
We have to stop policing people. You can't send the police to solve your problem.
Okay.
You can't walk past somebody who's suffering and call the police on them.
Okay.
Because that's fascistic. And that's what we do in Portland.
I'm asking. So I'm walking past someone. What do I do?
You walk right past them.
No, you're saying...
That's what you do.
No, I'm saying... Okay, I'm a little confused. You're saying we shouldn't call the police, and I agree with you.
What do I do? I look at them and see if they have shoes. I ask them if they're hungry or thirsty. I offer them a hoodie or a blanket out of my backpack. And I tell them that there's the mission. I ask them if they're suffering from police or if they need to call anybody.
Yes.
I tell them that there's safe use items available at the health department. You know, there's any number of humanistic responses you can take, and I can't tell you how to do that.
Hey, thank you, Tuasi. Tuasi, what you responded to my question. My question was, what do you do? And you said, by caring for that person. So thank you so much. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. We've had a conversation with last caller who was talking about what do we do? Let's go to April, who's been waiting for a while and has some thoughts to share with us. Good morning, April.
Hi. I really am enjoying your show, and I really enjoyed what the last two callers, everything they had to say.
Yeah.
I do agree with that. However, I was at the march yesterday, and I was kind of bothered that they worked with the police.
Mm-hmm.
But I also strongly believe that in order to reach people and change most people's consciousness, it's important to have those of us who have been protesting things for 40 years now to be there and talk to some of the people who just started going out, which, you know, I mean, it's really unfortunate they didn't wake up till now.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't have people who have been in the movement longer talking to them about why we've always protested, and that a lot of these things have been going on to some extent for generations.
Hey,
I don't see how we're going to build consciousness.
So how do, hold on to that, because I think that's an important point. Part of it is sort of like, so you know, some of us who've been doing this for 40 years, and yes, mm-hmm. And you have this newly person who just been, you know, a new activist, okay? How do you respond to them? How do you, what do we do? How do we create community?
It's hard because I don't want to sound preachy.
Mm-hmm,
I get very impatient with people who don't understand things.
Yeah.
But I think just by sharing that I've been doing this for 40 years and pointing out that this stuff has been going on for a long time, and, you know, I'm glad that they finally woke up, but
yeah.
A lot of us have been protesting this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, sharing a little about what they need to watch out for,
mm-hmm.
you know, about how the police may not be your friend,
right.
Maybe, you know, being close to tear gas and other mm-hmm. things that I've experienced with the police, it might give them a different outlook, it might not, but I think, yeah. you know, it's a chance.
Thank you so much, because I think that's a responsibility that those of us who've been doing this for 40 years, we have to share what we have and also to hear the perspective of those who, you know, just woke up.
Yeah, and I do agree that, you know, for people who may have more at stake,
mm-hmm.
it's not necessarily, you know, doesn't need to be your first priority to go to all the protests that aren't maybe the most important. But I do think it's important for at least some of us who've been activists for a very long time to do this. And my favorite, there were a lot of signs that were really creative, but my very favorite one was a chant, and it was, "No hate, no fear, immigrants are welcome here."
No hate, no fear, immigrants are welcome here. Like it. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, and I am enjoying your show. Have a great day.
You as well. Thank you, April. You're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. We're hearing some reflections from the rallies this past weekend. April shared some of her thoughts. Before her, Tuasi, Santiago, and Jeff also shared. Next up is Mike. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning. I was down in Tillamook. We had probably about 500 people. It's mostly a kind of a red county, I guess, because of the agriculture and things like that. During the march, you can kind of always tell the Trumpsters because they're driving big pickup trucks and exuding black smoke and revving their motors. And the two events in the past that I kind of want to recollect are, remember when they used to club seals and for fur and stuff like that, and Life magazine published the one picture of someone beating a baby seal?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And I think that stopped that whole industry. And then also during the Vietnam War, they had the monk who set himself on fire.
Yes.
And he just prayed, continued to pray until he died. And I think that publication of that picture helped to stop the Vietnam War. And so the only thing I can tell people today, the thing I was really impressed with the Tillamook parade and the signs, is I saw a lot of signs like "Be kind, love is love." And I think this is a kind of a fight between love and hate. You know, I see so much hate on the other side. And I think that what people can do, and I constantly fight hate. But I think the thing that we must do is bear witness and record. I think we have these smartphones that record history. And I used to live up on 13th and Morrison up in Portland. And I remember one time I saw this policeman. We were talking about policemen, but I saw this policeman who went over to a homeless person who was asleep under a tree. And he physically picked him up by his hair and was dragging him toward his car. And I walked out of my house and I just went over and I crossed my arms and I just sat next to him. And then he got really, really nervous and said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "I'm just bearing witness." And he changed his mode. He changed his whole perception of the situation, and he was kinder. And so I again bear witness and record. And I think we're going to get those images of what's happening. You know, this assassination in Minnesota is just a kind of a beginning of it. And so I think we have to remain. We have to remain peaceful, and I was really proud of Tillamook for kind of doing that yesterday.
Hey.
So that's, I guess, my point.
Hey, thank you so much, and thank you for sharing your experience at Tillamook and reminding us your mantra, "Be kind." Thank you so much, Mike.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. You're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. Mike just shared some of his thoughts of what happened in Tillamook this past weekend. 500 people, and be kind. Let's go to our next caller. Oh, Caracas. Good morning.
Good morning, Cecil. It's nice to listen to your show, as always. I went to the protest in Vancouver, and it was very peaceful. And then there was one counter-protester. He had the "Don't Tread on Me" flag, but everybody was respectful to him and let him march. I mean, it was really interesting. even the younger ones didn't get all sassy with him, which I was happy that that happened that way. It was kind of that way that they do things in Southwest Washington when they protest, but which was really pleasant. But you know, your show reminds me of protests. It's a protest show. And what was really interesting to me about the protests is everybody was telling stories to everybody else about what they were upset about, what they thought was the right thing to do, and that thing. So your show is kind of like that. I mean, you get that one guy that went from, you know, antithetical Hegelian dialectic nightmares, like I think Santiago was his name, to April, who says, "You know, I share with the younger people." And that wonderful thing about American protests is we show our creativity, our hyper-creativity. That's one thing that I think we Americans are blessed with, at least our cultures, our hyper-creativity, and our ways to guide us through this complex thing in society. You know, and it's the complexity of American life is there. And so we know how to do it. I mean, because that's just the way we are. And so that's why I like your show, because it has everybody telling their stories about what they did. And that's what I was noticing with the youth, and especially my granddaughter, I let them tell their stories and get out their feelings about, you know, what they think is wrong. And I'll agree or disagree with them and just keep up a dialogue. And that's so important, because if you think of complexity, it only breaks down when in certain places it breaks down when there's no dialogue or communication. And so when everybody's talking and everybody's is you know, popping corn. It's like popping corn. People are popping off popcorn. These wonderful ideas.
Yes,
and then they work together, and that's how we do things. And so I, you know, that's what I saw anyway.
Excellent.
And thank you for your show.
thank you so much. And thank you for attending the rally in Vancouver. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
You're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. Caracas just shared some of their observations from the rally in Vancouver, Washington, the importance of people telling and sharing their stories and keeping up the dialogue. Let's go to our next caller. Is Unternad?
Unternar?
Yes.
Hi, Cecil. I want to thank you for actually asking people to have concrete things that they can do. I think that's important. It's real easy to be critical, but we need to actually come up with things. And one of the things that I've done over the years is I've printed up hundreds of letter-sized cardstock with I agree on both sides, I disagree, don't deflect, and tell the truth. And then I would pass them out at meetings and town halls so people could lift them up. It's a very powerful way of holding our representatives' feet to the fire.
What? Tell me again. Like, I agree, I disagree, and what else?
Okay, I actually color-coded them.
Oh, okay.
On green, I agree on both sides, so people behind you can, and the photographers can see it.
Right.
I disagree on red. And then don't deflect. On yellow. And tell the truth on yellow.
Ooh, wow. And so, like, at town hall meetings or city council meetings, people can gather?
Any kind of meeting that you know, that people are discussing things, it's a really powerful way. By color coding them, you can see at a glance how many people are agreeing or disagreeing.
Right. Okay. Excellent. Hey, thank you.
Thank you. And I did have a slogan for placards.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to go with the original version because the gatekeeper last week said I couldn't use the new edition just because the FCC might not appreciate it.
Okay.
So the original version is...
We got our finger on the button. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Hello?
A more perfect union, 250 years, and the best we can do is a musky Trump.
Okay. All right. All right.
And then I did switch out the name for a Mexican food.
Okay. Okay. That's we're good. Hey, thank you so much.
Thanks for the show.
Thank you so much for your for all that you're doing and for doing that, you know, simple act of creating cards to make, you know, to go at town hall meetings or meetings where a crowd can just stand and the official can see.
All
that
they have to do is lift up the cards.
Right. Thank you so much. And you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. And I'm sure all of you are members. If you're not a member, go to our website and click on Donate Now. But in the meantime, let's hear from our next caller. Tangent, good morning.
Yeah, Brother Cecil. I thought of a quote. Somebody was talking about how you let us tell our stories. Mm-hmm. Ken Kesey said something like this. It goes, facts, figures, give me stories. We need stories. And I just thought of it recently, like just now. I was thinking, okay, facts and figures, they're not very promising. Mostly bleak, right?
Yes.
But stories, they give us hope, you know, and these aren't just fantasies, you know, these stories are what people accomplish, right? But I wanted to say that we went down to the beach, and as we passed through Tillamook, I was going to guess over 200. Maybe I wasn't there at the peak, but yes, there was lots of people for like two or three blocks, both sides. And what I did is I took pictures. I took a whole roll of film. I don't have an automatic wind, but I just, as fast as I could, you know, wind and punch, find and punch. And there's some really creative things and very beautiful, all very positive.
Yes.
So there's that. And I would suggest that Tillamook is actually a very green county, if you look at it, you know, literally.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, literally, yes.
Yes, literally. So maybe it's turning more green. And yes, this is the other thing. So we went past, and then we stopped at the store and came back to take the pictures. Now, I didn't notice any Trump people out there. But when we came back and took the pictures and turned around, then there was like three of them or something there. But they looked very lonely. You know, all the other people kind of moving away from the group W bench or whatever. I guess we'll call it the group T bench now from Alice's restaurant, if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, hey, one last thing. I heard on Democracy Now! That someone was shot by a peacekeeper in Salt Lake City. A peacekeeper with a gun? This does not compute. If you can't put your body, you know, to stop violence, and yes, you risk that, but that's the oath, isn't it? That's what a conscientious objector is. That's what a nonviolent protester is. I can't accept it, you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
All right.
Well, thank you for your thoughts and for your observations about what's going on in the communities and reminding us and what was going on in Tillamook. Hey, have a great day. You are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I'm Cecil Prescott, and I thank you so much for being a part of our program and our community. We have a few minutes left. If you would like to call and share your thoughts, your reflections on whether or not you attended a rally in your community, what was the atmosphere like? What was it that what were people saying and doing? We've had a number of great ideas and conversations this morning. People's observations about what was going on, whether or not it was the action, as one caller said, was performative. And yeah, it certainly well, it's performative, but whether or not it impacted actions. Reflections on the nature of protests, we also heard this morning, and how to protest. And then we also heard people reflecting on their stories of community buildings and things that they are doing, initiatives that they are engaged in, whether it is holding a sign to be kind and loving and bearing witness, whether it's involved in telling stories with one another. And as be so clear from our callers this morning, things are complicated. And as we are reminded, especially longtime activists, for those who are newer activists, I'm not even sure if that's the proper word, but people who are now wanting to do something are aware. We need to educate. Certainly this isn't the first time, as the caller reminded us. And indeed, our civilized country has a long history of oppression, and we certainly can learn a lot about oppression, resistance, and how people, if we're just talking about the United States in the last 250 years, how people have resisted. And certainly this is not anything new. And as a caller reminded us, we should not act as if this is unusual. This is, I think, in fact, our nation's history of oppression, of refusing people their due rights, and that constantly, over and over again, people need to stand up and throw off those things which keep them down. And we can learn from our ancestors, from freedom fighters throughout this nation's history, about what to do, how to be, and how to be there for one another. One final thought on this rallies that took place indeed throughout the world this past weekend. It was so important, I think, for people to stand. And certainly it was performative, because that's the definition of a rally. Of course it's performative, because you want to create a scene. The important thing, I think, is what happens afterwards. After the curtain goes down, what are you doing? Are you continuing the work? And that, I think, is the important part. It is so important for people to stand up in their communities. And as I noted, it's easy to stand up when there's 10,000 people around. As some of a couple of our callers mentioned, in smaller communities, people will also rally in. And that probably takes a lot of more, I don't know, courage, but certainly awareness, because of your neighbors and the interaction in your community. But whether one lives in a larger community or a smaller community, whether one has an education or not, whether one lives in a home or is houseless, we all have a role to play, and we all are important, because in fact we are one community. And a goal is to be able to hear, to listen, to empathize with one another. In a world in which there is so much warfare and hatred and attempts to denigrate individuals and societies, I think it is important for those who not only believe in freedom, but also believe in the possibility that we are not only a nation, but also a world in which we can learn to do, support one another. So, my fellow travelers, continue to do the good work. Continue to do the hard work. And certainly a lot of it is done behind the scene, and it doesn't seem as if much progress is being made. But as our ancestors continue to teach us, progress is being made. And as Joe Hill said, don't mourn, organize. I'm Cecil Prescott. You have been listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. Stay tuned to more programming. Become a member of this community radio station because there is so much more work to do. Thank you all. Be well, treat one another kindly, and I will speak with you next time.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operation and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communication Act of 1934.